Hi, guys.
Hello. Hi, Rob. Rick, are you on?
Yeah, hello. How you doing?
Good, Ricardo. How are you? And Roxanne, good. Nice to see you.
Roxanne. Fantastic.
Oh, how are you?
Yourself?
I'm good, thank you. So how was your first week of Supernova?
It was good. It was great. Busy, but good.
Good, good. All right, so last week we spent most of the time just talking and getting to know each other and getting to know your practice.
Okay.
This week what we want to do is dive into segmentation, but you've done a nice job on segmentation, so we don't need to spend a lot of time on it. One of the things I'd like you to do is think about what would be your ideal number of clients that you'd like to have forever, fitting in with your lifestyle. What would that number be?
We had discussed 150.
150.
And at first it won't be 75 each. It'll be 100 me and 50 her, and then, you know, as time goes on, she'll be able to add take more of the, you know, that 25 from me. And
right, but that's the maximum number of clients that as a team we would be, you know, that's where we would cap our business.
Okay. So what we do is we establish an absolute minimum and a target minimum. The absolute minimum is the average of your practice. The target minimum would represent the top 20% of your clients. What would be your average size or revenues? It could be both or one or the other that you want to use as your absolute minimum.
Okay, we used asset size, not revenue, but you know, I guess it translates to revenue as well. So to give you an idea, like we had discussed last week, we've cut down a lot of our business. So we're down to about 85 clients, and even in that 85, there's one that's like a simple IRA, which is 5 participants, you know, so that's more like 1 client. But even within that 85, there's maybe, you know, us analyzing the book, there's about 40 clients that, you know, meet, maybe 45, 50 clients top that would be something, you know, that we would want to move forward with to meet our criteria. But that being said, in all 85 clients, the average minimum is $1 million. Now, that's a little skewed because our top client pays about over $200,000 of our revenue.
It's a $23 million client.
It's a $23 million client. So if we remove her from the average, it's about 750 is the average minimum.
So how do you feel? Do you feel like you want to make your absolute minimum $1 million or 750?
We want it to be 10,000 in revenue. So if a client comes in with 750 and we charge them, you know, 1.25% or whatever that, you know, goes out to 1.3%, then, you know, we'll be willing to work with them because we do get a lot of rollovers from the 401k that we manage opportunities.
All right, so your target minimum would be the average of your top 20%. So what is that number?
Okay, including the top one, it's 3.3. Removing her, it's 2.1.
So I would say $2,500,000 is your target.
That's exactly what we had agreed on. Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly the number we wrote down.
Okay. So that's who we're going to prospect for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll accept $1,000,002, we'll accept $1,000,005, but we're prospecting for 2.5 and above.
Okay.
So this is important. because this is the number you're going to use when you go public.
Okay.
Meaning when you talk to clients, you talk to centers of influence, you talk to your mastermind group, whenever you share with anybody what your ideal client looks like, they have north of 202.5 million of liquid assets.
Okay.
Oh, so we say 2.5 million, not 1 million.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, and they say, well, I've got this guy, and he's got 1.4 million. Will you take him? And you say, yes, because it came from you as an introduction. Mm. We'd be happy to do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if he said 600,000, you say, no, that's below our average, and we just can't do that.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay, so the psychology of that process is really important because we used to just have one minimum, and people would violate it all the time. And this way, you really get it. You know, you do the math and you get it. You go, we're not violating that. That's it.
That makes sense.
Okay? And you guys come to agreement, you look each other in the eye, and we say, no, we're not violating it. You know, somebody's going to have it in 2 years. You know, they come in with 600,000. They're going to have it, you know, within 12 months, I'd say, you know, they're going to have 5 million. Of course you're going to take it. That's the rule of common sense.
Yeah.
Overriding your rules. But if it's a $600,000 rollover from your 401k, you're not going to take it. Okay?
Yeah, perfect. And I do want to mention one thing. These are other numbers we're going through. What we've done is we've moved forward just with our book, not with any clients from that other partnership we discussed last week.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on that relationship.
Too much.
Too much. So you guys work that out. Do whatever you need to do. We'll go forward as if this is your practice, okay?
Exactly.
Perfect.
That's what we agreed upon, yes.
Okay, good. And, you know, if you need my help on that, that's great, but we don't want to eat, you know, it's like the sad cousin at the family reunion, you know. Everybody spends the whole time talking about him. Nobody spends any time having fun or talking about each other and all the wonderful things that are going on.
I
agree, yes.
Poor cousin Joe gets all the attention. Everybody goes, why did we do that, you know? We just wasted a whole weekend talking about poor cousin Joe, you know?
Yes.
All right. Because every family has them. all right. So we're
good. And if you don't recognize that cousin Joe, then you're that cousin Joe.
I'll tell you that. Did you remember that from my speech, or did you just admit yourself?
Well, I may have heard it from your speech, or maybe one of the videos that I watch. I don't know.
Oh, the videos. I just remembered. Yes.
Great memory.
Yes.
I love that thing. Favorite things. That's
good. So moving forward to great things.
Okay, so we've got our now. When you define who your ideal client is, we want to define them beyond their assets and beyond their and this is when we get into niches. And if you guys, you know, you may have told me this and I didn't write it down or I forgot or something, but have we talked about your niches, the things that you're good at, where you know,
no.
Your target, where your client. I know that you've got the 401k, but is there a niche professionally or through some previous work or anything that would?
I've been in the business since I was 21 years old. I started at Merrill as a CSA, so I've always been in this business. So I don't have any other, you know, other than my kid's school or parents, anything related to parenting. I really don't have any other niche, personal niche.
Okay.
I do. I have, you know, I had small bit. I owned a small business, and I was also an accountant. So I dealt a lot with small business owners.
All right. So this is a great opportunity, Ricardo. So tell me, I just got done. I've been coaching a guy for now, you know, more than a year. He's just getting started in the business, and he comes from the, you know, he's a graduate of MIT. He's an entrepreneur, and we've spent now weeks working on a plan to develop a mastermind group around people selling their practices, selling their businesses, selling, you know, the baby boomers are maturing at, a, you know, 10,000 a day, all going into retirement. Well, a lot of them are selling their businesses, their small businesses. Fabulous opportunity. Most people really haven't taken advantage of it. Your background, you are perfect for this. Have you done anything in that area? Worked with business brokers or worked?
No, I haven't worked with any business brokers, no.
Okay. Did you, obviously in your practice, though, there had to be times when people retired and sold their practices. How did that happen?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of my practice was geared around, you know, mortgage brokers, realtors, contractors. And in 2008, you know, that's a lot of them took a big hit. Some of them, you know, left the business that they were in. But, you know, there's, from when I own my business, a lot of them, you know, still own their businesses. You know, people that I work with in the area and I service their business, those people still have, you know, successful running businesses.
Do you do business with any of those people from your former life?
Am I still in business with them?
Yes.
Do you do business?
No. That's an area that I have to, you know,
as a financial advisor.
Yeah, no, I have not. I've prospected one of them, and this was a few years back, and I think we could go a little bit more aggressive on him.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to be perfect for what we teach. Okay.
Okay.
So here's what I want you to think about. All right.
Okay.
I want you to think about who are the successful business owners in your community. What industry are they? You know, maybe it's restaurant owners, maybe it's realtors, maybe it's, you know, whatever. I'm not sure. You got to tell me who's making the money, and then, but they're in business for themselves, right? So you're not in a tool and die area. You know, you're in a resort kind of area where there's a lot of entertainment and
tourism.
It seems to me that you probably have very successful realtors, very successful restaurateurs, very successful people in the entertainment business, maybe yacht brokers, that kind of thing. These, you know, everybody runs out of time, right? Nobody. And a lot of times the kids aren't interested, and so they got to sell their business. And so that's where you and your team step in, and you have the expertise to be able to help them take care of that. So what we want to do is first identify what it is, what is our niche that we want to go after. And then what we do is we build a group around them. So let's say that it was yacht brokers, okay? Just off the top of my head. It's a fluctuating business, but it's been pretty good. You also have Carnival Cruise down there and all that other stuff, right? In your area?
Yep.
So these guys make a lot of money now. It was always, you know, touch and go, but now they're like, it's like car dealers. They're making a fortune now. You know, they have for 10 years. So it's been very good. So anyway, you kind of go through and figure out who's making the money, and then you build a mastermind group around them. So we want to, and then we prepare that mastermind group, helps those business brokers sell their practice, help those entrepreneurs sell their businesses. So typically in the group would be a business broker, CPA, often a realtor because there's real estate involved, a lawyer, and then you, financial advisor. And you, because you're a CPA, can really talk this language because now, what you want to do is you want to meet now with different business brokers in the area and find out who are the trustworthy ones, who are the good ones, who are the ones that aren't, and so forth. Now, investment bankers work for your firm, but their minimum is going to be north of $100 million or more, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be interested. Okay. The guy's got a great business. He supplies the restaurant business with all kinds of stuff, right? And his business is worth $10 million bucks. But you gotta do some things to get the business ready for sale, just like you dress up your house. So you might even have a consultant in there that prepares the business for sale. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get the cars and all the, you know, the beach house and all that off the books before you're going to sell it.
Isn't that Ron Friedman, Rick?
Yeah. I actually had a meeting with a CPA COI of mine on Monday. That is a former executive at a large CPA firm. And now he runs his own firm, so he's more boutique, and he handles a lot of these events.
So this guy, you know, the closer you are relationship wise to this group, these people in this group, the better the group will work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the more it's structured, the better it will work. So my recommendation is that you actually have a contract that you sign. Now, that this is down the road a little bit. It's not the first thing you're going to do. You all agree to meet monthly. You got to make 85% of the meetings. And the purpose of the meeting is to make each other smarter. All right? To help each other. So you're not going in there just to get business.
Mm-hmm.
You're there to help each other and to coach each other so I would go to Ron and I'd tell him about this idea of forming this mastermind group around people that we can trust, that would be helpful to each other, that would really make each other the smartest group, the smartest network in all of Florida for entrepreneurs selling their businesses. Okay? And that's your goal. And if you do this, I'm telling you, you got yourself a gold mine.
Okay.
And you don't do it for the next, 5 minutes to see if it works. You do it for the next 25, 30 years. Just imagine 30 years of meeting every month together with this group as they mature and become seniors and rich and all that stuff, how well this thing could work.
How would the meetings be structured?
You have an agenda and you meet in each other's office and you go through and help that person with whatever they need. So the first meeting might be in the CPA's practice and he tells everybody about his practice. You run it like a YPO. where everybody helps each other. You know, this is what I need. This is what I'm looking for a secretary. You know, I'm looking for this. I'm trying to get this done. I'm focusing on these kinds of clients. So they tell you about their practice, and then everybody, you know, kind of steps in and helps out in any way they can with advice and guidance.
That's great.
The purpose, of course, is to identify people that are either close to or are in the process of retiring and transitioning their businesses. The kids don't want the business, and therefore they need to sell it. So, or there's some transition going on. The kids are gonna take business, but there's a liquidity event where the dad, they're gonna buy out the dad. So you do a leverage buyout or something. You gotta have financing for that, and you gotta figure out how that works, etc. But you guys become the expert in this process. So they come, you know, everything, like my son sold his house in one day in Beverly, Mass, because he had a professional stager come in. They had a professional photographer, and they staged the house beautifully. They had 100 people go through and 5 people bidding on it, and they sold it at like 110% of what they wanted.
Wow.
So it was amazing. And that's what you want with your business practice. You want, I mean, with your sale of the business, you want to develop it so that everybody that sells the business through you gets more than they thought it was worth. Because you stage it so well. So we can spend some time on this. But this is an area I'm really spending a lot of time working on and helping a lot of teams do this. And it's just working beautifully. And it's because this is where the money is going, right? It's all the baby boomers retiring. So these liquidity events can be anywhere from, you know, 5 on the low end to 100 million, you know, 50 million, 70 million, 30 million. Not
ideal. Yeah.
So they're, you know, you may do 2 a year. But that would be, you know, that'd be plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a team that did just, I mean, they brought in $150 million last year doing this. One was $70 million, the others were smaller, but they ended up with $150
million. Yeah.
But they signed a contract that they would all, they had to be unanimous as to a new member. And if somebody wasn't attending 85% of the meetings and wasn't really, didn't have his heart in it, they fired him and got somebody new.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, this one guy started 2 of them. He didn't have the bylaws. He didn't have the rules. And the second one, he said it didn't work. It was too loose. So he said the reason the first one works is because everybody's agreed that it's going to be serious.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it's amazing how well it works. So the first thing is to identify these people, make sure you have good ones in each of these positions. So you can, you know, we call them center of influences, professional centers of influence, and then you have your natural centers of influence. Your natural centers of influence are inside your book already. They're just clients in many cases that refer to you because they like you, trust you, and you want to identify who those people are, because if they give you a introduction every other year by you spending time with them, they will give you one every 6 months.
We have one that gives us 2 or 3 a year.
Yeah, so you want to meet with them, give them more time, because they'll probably end up giving you 4 or 5 a year.
Okay.
Who's that, Roxanne? Charlie?
Todd Barron.
Oh, Todd. Yeah, he's a client.
A client, right.
Yeah.
We have a client who gives us 3 to 4 a year, and then there's an attorney that gives us maybe 2 a year. And
okay, so with that attorney, we make him a center of influence, and we meet with him monthly. And our purpose in meeting monthly is to, number one, give him introductions. Number two, help him. Okay? That's the purpose of your meeting. It isn't to get more introductions. It's to help him, either by educating him, making him smarter, or by introducing him to clients. And I'll show you how the introduction goes. It should be in person best, if not a phone introduction. Third, an email introduction. So you want those introductions to be very personal and very suitable for them, because you can get, you know, two or three introductions, but if they're not qualified, they don't do you any good. So we want to educate these folks on what we do and how we do it. And who do we need, who's the best fit for us, who's the most suitable for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. His primary line of business is
guardianship and estate.
Guardianship and estate.
Oh, that's great.
I'm a probate.
That's fabulous that he gives you that many introductions.
Yeah.
A lot of times, estate attorneys, estate planning attorneys, don't give many because they're referred mostly by financial advisors. So how does he generate his clients?
He runs a smaller practice, and then he deals, like he says, he'll take a client that's $100,000. So I told him, you know, that obviously doesn't work for us. But he says that, you know, he generally deals with clients that, you know, there's a guardianship set up. It says that the court system here is like really, you know, clicky, to sort of say, that it's basically a few attorneys and a few judges that basically handle the majority of the cases. And he's one of those attorneys.
He gets a lot of referrals.
Yeah, he gets a lot of referrals from maybe, let's say, some larger firms that, you know, they're not going to, you know, deal with a, you know, $5 million estate or something like that, and he'll deal with it.
Right.
And then he's, you know, he's very active in the community.
All right, so you like him. I mean,
he's actually a good friend. Our daughters are in class together. We've known him, we've known of him for, you know, since we were in our 20s, but we've been friendly with him, you know, relationship maybe the last 6 or 7 years.
All right, so I want you to consider the benefits of having a breakfast or a lunch with him every month.
Okay.
All right. You don't have to. It could be a Starbucks. You know, it could just be coffee. But the idea is out of sight, out of business.
Yeah.
The more you're in front of him, the more introductions you're going to get. And the more you're going to be able to help him. So you want to make sure he knows what you do, how you do it, and then you want to make sure you know what he does and what he wants.
Okay.
Then we have this process we call the enthusiastically endorse model, which is a brilliant idea. The gal in Dallas, Texas, came up with this idea, and I never forgot it. That's why I always sat in the front row of meetings.
Enthusiastically what?
Enthusiastically endorse. It's on the sheet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we have this enthusiastically endorse model where you ask your clients a simple question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your blank, your CPA, your attorney, your estate planning attorney, your cardiologist, your teacher, your, you know, whatever? And then you build this list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals in your community, and that becomes kind of an Angie's List for new people, new CEOs that are moving in town, new people that are in the community, and just anybody that's looking for a professional to solve a problem. But you're the go-to people, and that you build this up. So when you go to somebody, you say to them, you've been enthusiastically endorsed by my CPA, and says, you're a fabulous guy. Okay? And so you're always in the same thing for them. You know, you introduce, you ask your clients, can you enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney? And they say, no, I don't even have one. Or, no, he's terrible. Or, no, I haven't heard from him for a long time. Or, he just does the work and never really calls or anything. And you say, well, you know, would you be open to an introduction to an estate planning attorney that is being very enthusiastically endorsed by a number of our folks in the community? And she goes, yeah, that'd be great. And then you endorse, and then you make an introduction, and you do it. I like to do it in person, is number one, on the phone, number two, email, number three. It's very personal. When you introduce somebody on the phone and then you get off, you know, you connect those two people and then you get off and say, you know, and you give them both glowing endorsements, you've just made two great friends. So it works. And you can do that with all your clients. And, people say, well, I've asked all my clients about their CPA. I say, well, you know, how many other friends do you have? Right? You're looking to introduce people so you can ask all your friends, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And they go, no, I think about getting a new one. It'll be just a neighbor, right? And you say, well, would you be open to an introduction? I've got a fabulous guy that is enthusiastically endorsed by everybody. They go, of course I would. That'd be nice. And so you give them another introduction. So your goal is not to get, but to give.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of reverse the process. So you're thinking all the time, how can I find another person to give to my CPA, to my estate planning attorney? And of course,
I'm sorry. I have one question you discuss in the videos to have six COIs, so that would be six for Roxana, six for me. But then, there, you know, as far as, you know, referring people, we want to refer three, you know, of if it's whether it's a CPA or whether it's an estate planning attorney. So how do we, you know, differentiate by, you know, let's say we have three estate planning attorneys, three CPAs. How do we differentiate who we make a COI and who is just, you know, someone we refer business to?
Okay, so here's the way I like to think of it. You know, baseball. So you think of it. You got your lead CPA that everything is going great with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you really like him and everything, or her. So that's the person is up to bat. And then you've got, and you meet with them monthly.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got your on-deck CPA, and you meet with him or her quarterly. And then you've got your CPA in the dugout, and you meet with them twice a year. But you're always cultivating these people, and you're referring to them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have one that's your lead.
Yeah. Yeah. And is it six? Is it a maximum of six COIs, or is it that you have to reach that six COIs?
You can have more than that if that's what you're going to use as your primary acquisition strategy.
Got it.
We have seven strategies that we recommend. You can use all seven. If you use all seven, then you'd have no more room than six.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't use all seven, then you have more room. Room means time.
Yeah.
Okay? So, good question. It's limited by your ability, your time. That's all. Now you may have a targeted CPA in your mastermind group because he specializes in restaurateurs. and you have a mastermind group built around restaurateurs, or you may have a group, you know, a CPA that specializes in the sale of businesses. So he's in your entrepreneurial sale group. So you may have more than the six, but right. now you're working with a different strategy called the mastermind group, and that yeah. is different. Okay.
But, yeah, that's usually that's there's a limit to how many mastermind groups you could have going at a time. I would assume because of time.
I had 10 centers of influence, and I had 3 mastermind groups when I was in practice. So I think you could have 2 mastermind groups and the 6 centers of influence.
And
those are your primary centers of influence, okay?
Yeah.
Behind each one, you know, you've got your guy on deck and you've got your guy in the bullpen. So
yeah.
you've got quite a few, you know, of the 6, really 18.
Yeah.
So you're working 18 people to come up with 6 that are your lead.
Okay. Yeah, that's the – okay, perfect, yeah.
And as he, for instance, business brokers, if he doesn't know any, as he scheduled meetings with business brokers, he would ultimately be interviewing them to see, you know, who he feels would fit be a good fit for this mastermind group, correct?
Correct. Yeah, so you might start them out as a center of influence and then graduate them into the mastermind group.
How long does it take to set up one of these, you know, mastermind groups? Let's say he gets started on the process today or tomorrow, you know.
I would say 6 months.
6 months. Okay.
Plus, you've already built it, you know.
Right.
I mean, the fact that you're a CPA helps because you would have automatic credibility. You know, you'd have good credibility, and you might already have these networks kind of built.
Yeah.
And now it would be just formalizing it, so you could do it in a month, have the right people. I'm giving you 6 months to find the right people and make sure that, you know, that you don't want to build a mastermind group and then have to dismantle the whole thing.
Yeah.
You're going to have some people that don't work out. That's the way it is with any business relationship. But you want to be very prudent in how you build it. Because it's your brand that's on the line. Okay.
Okay. Now, is there like forms, or do you have like forms as far as like the you mentioned the bylaws and stuff like that on the website, or?
No, but it's a good question. I would say, you know, we can go through and I can just give you bullet points of what should be included in a contract.
Okay.
All right. So when you get to that stage, we can go back through it. And
Perfect.
If you want it now, I can give it to you just off the top of my head. But, no, I haven't written it out. It's just a... This gentleman did it and he went through it with me, and I can go through it with you.
Okay.
Point though, it would be a good thing to do. other questions.
Good stuff. I mean, I think it's very clear. We'll sit down and finalize our COIs. We did write down a couple of names. And as far as the assignment that's on the Supernova book, that it says week, where should, you know, I know that last week we spent a lot of time on other things, so we want to get back on track. Where should we be by our next call as far as the assignments are concerned?
Yeah, I kind of went through chapter two here, so I covered that. Let me just make sure we don't miss something in chapter one. Okay, identify another advisor. Hiring an intern is a very important thing, and I'd like you to consider having an intern forever. They're very helpful. It's a good thing to do for the community. You can get them from your local university, go to the business school.
Yeah, I have a contact. We actually, with my prior partnership, we used to hire them regularly, and I have a contact at FIU from the business department.
Great. And that takes a little bit of time because of compliance, but you should get started on it now. How are you guys feeling about your presentations to your clients in terms of Supernova?
Well, go ahead, Roxanne, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was going to say I need to work on, I think Rick has it more down than I do. I need to work on the script a little better and how I'm going to, you know, present it.
Yeah, just practice on each other. Mm-hmm. You have the advantage of being in a partnership. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more it flows and the shorter it is, the better. Fewer words are always better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So you can use the exact words that I use. And you know, the basic concept, I think, is probably works the best is that our practice has grown. That's been wonderful. That's the great news. The confidence people have placed in us is so wonderful. The bad news is that our practice has grown, and we are committed to a high level of service, and we just don't want that to slip. So we hired a consultant to look at our practice, and this is what he found. We just, unfortunately, have too many clients, and so we are going to have to reassign some. But in the meantime, we've improved the client experience, and this is what we've committed to. We've committed to every client getting multi-generational planning process, ongoing process. We'll do this with 12 scheduled appointments. Four of them will be reviews of the plan. Two of them will be in person. And then we've set up a rapid response team where we have 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And they're going to be in a panic at that point going, am I one of the clients that you're going to reassign? And you go, no, you'll be pleased to know that we will continue our relationship. They're going to ask something like, how much more does this cost?
Right.
Because they're going to be very grateful that they're being kept. And some people actually put in a price increase at that point. But I don't think that's necessary. I would simply answer it by saying what we're paying now, what you're paying right now, is sufficient to cover the cost of doing this. And we're delighted that you're going to be a part of it. There is an obligation on your part. We want you we're going to commit our time and energy to these. We're going to send you an agenda for every call and then an executive summary after the call is over. So all we ask is that you be there. We know there'll be an occasional emergency, but otherwise we'd like you to be there on the appointed time. We'll send you reminders. So it won't be any surprises, but we would love for you to be there when we call and to have reviewed the agenda so that you have questions. You can raise them at that point. And how does that sound? And they'll be like, oh, that's great. That's great. And then you hand them the folder and say, this is your folder. This is where you put your notes. So in between calls, when you have an issue comes up that isn't urgent, you write it down there and then bring it up on the call. This is where the agenda will go. This is information about our team. et cetera. And I would give them a two-hole punch because nobody has a two-hole punch today. So I'd give them the folder and a two-hole punch and say, and they'll say, you know, wrap it up in a little as a little gift, the punch anyway. And they'll be like, oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. You thought of everything. We said, we really try. And they'll be, you've thought of everything. Comment means I don't have to think about anything. You guys are wonderful. So for, you know, $10 or whatever it costs for the two-hole punch, you've got their loyalty now forever. Mm-hmm. And now they feel really connected to you. They love these calls. They'll disclose everything to you on these calls. And you'll be delighted by the reaction. I know you've done some of this. You tried some of it, so you get it.
When
you do it with all the clients, it does work better.
Yeah. And I think when we were introducing it to clients, we weren't as bought in, and so we weren't as enthusiastically introducing it to the clients. So I think that, you know, we obviously, there's some clients that we haven't introduced it to, actually a lot in our top 20. There's maybe three or four that are in our top 20 that we've introduced it to, but we'll definitely do a much better job, you know, now introducing it to clients, you know, to make it more, like you said in the video, you know, their enthusiasm will be directly related to your enthusiasm as far as introducing it to them.
Right.
It's true.
And I'm going to go back and listen to this recording because we didn't word it so nicely.
Yeah.
As you have just now.
I have a question on the, you know, on those top 20, we have two clients that are, you know, we have a couple of clients that are straight brokerage, that are not fee-based, but we have two in particular who, you know, they pay enough to be in the top 20, but they're really not, you know, their return on assets is pretty low. If you were going to, you know, how would you word that as, you know, getting maybe not fee-based, but getting them more engaged in as far as, you know, the maybe they don't want to do fee-based, but they're getting more engaged in the transactional side?
Well, your commitment is to do a financial plan with every client.
Okay.
would they commit to doing that?
Yeah, we've actually done financial plans for both of them. We took the wrong approach because we were doing a financial plan, you know, for retirement, and clearly they both have more than enough money to make it through retirement. So what we're going to do is the financial plan is, you know, what they want their legacy to be. You know, is there, you know, how much do they want their kids to get? You know, if they don't have kids, you know, is there a charity or an organization or a family member, something, you know, what is the legacy?
Rick, who is this?
Woods and Wallach.
Yeah, and I think with those two, mm-hmm. I think getting them on Supernova will help from a trust standpoint.
Yeah.
And the more they trust us, the more bought in they'll be into whatever we recommend to them.
Yeah, and I would take, for example, the international portion. That's always a good way to rationalize it. You know, that we're really experts on managing the money locally and da-da-da-da, and this is fine transactionally. But when it comes to China and, you know, Vietnam and Russia and Europe, we're not experts, and so we hire money managers, and that's where you get your toe into the fee-based services, advisory services. Okay. So I would have an international component with those people, with everybody, but with those people in particular, and make that fee-based.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And that makes that's your way of, you know, they find it doesn't bite, right? It doesn't kill them. So we covered pretty much everything in chapter 1 and 2. I think that there is, we talked about your natural and target niches. You might want to formalize that a little bit more.
Yep.
See if there are, you know, more target niches that you say, this is, Because I gave you a bunch of examples, but you didn't get back, you know, we didn't have time to really get back and tell me, okay, of those, what makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
So think about your business, your market, and what are target niches that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes along with the idea of your ideal client. You know, who is it? I mean, it might be a cardiologist, you know. Who knows? So there's local hospitals and things. That would be a niche. Identify your 6 centers of influence. That's good. So that's chapter 2. That's pretty much it, I think, Roxana. We caught up here.
Okay.
We kind of combined chapter 1 and 2 today.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did the absolute minimum, target minimum, maximums. You know, we have vision of where we want to be, hire an intern, practice the scripts.
And what about 2 and 4? Number 2 and number 4, what percentage should we have notified already? And what percent, you know, how many would you say?
You guys,
left.
You're only got 85 to do. You've already kind of, this isn't like the first time you've thought about it. I'll let you go at your pace.
Okay.
If you could do 10 this week, that would be wonderful.
Okay. 10 inform and 10 reassign.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. No, this has been great.
Yeah, so you're good at this, and it sounds like you value some structure and, you know, we call it in the bond market, permanence and definition. You like to know exactly what is expected and what you're supposed to do. If you want to, what I like is you want to, you can send me an email each week that would summarize kind of an agenda of things that you want to cover and a summary of the homework that you did.
Good. Okay.
All right. Some teams are more organized. Some people like structure. Some people want to just tell me it's. But I've got a guy, like I said, that I've been coaching for more than a year now, and he has his own agenda every week. And he covers my agenda, but then adds some things that he wants to talk about. And
right.
God bless him. You know, it makes it so neat for me. I will always, Lori will always send you a copy of the things that we're supposed to have done by this time in her email. But it's also in the workbook, but I'm very happy to have you create your own agenda, which will reflect your timeline. Like we have a very clear agenda of things that, you know, hire an intern, work on the scripts, 10 informed, 10 reassigned. Okay. Those are things you gotta, and then we have our interns, I mean, our COIs that we're going to identify 6. So, you know, we're very specific. And so, you know, you want to just follow up and just bullet point those and let me know how you're doing. That's just terrific.
Perfect.
And then the niches, right? The niches.
Yes, the niche.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's good. Fantastic.
Okay. That's a lot. here, but like I said, you get it, and I don't have to resell you. A lot of these first couple weeks are selling people for the first time on the idea of really thing and organizing and you know why do I need folders and all this stuff. I'm so blessed that you guys are past that we can just go as fast as.
It took us a year, Rob.
So it took us longer than a few weeks, right?
So it was actually a good thing we didn't start a year ago.
Yeah, you know, it had to get it through to your head, you know. It just You know, and when you talk to other people and they say, well, you know, you're doing Supernova, just say, look, it took us a long time to get past some of these ideas, but here we are and we love it, you know. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, tell them that, that's helpful for them because they don't, then they don't have to spend a year agonizing over it. You know,
they
use you as a, you know, you went across the invisible bridge, you know, before them. And so it makes it easier for them.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Okay. Have a great week and look forward to talking to you all next week.
We look forward to it. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.